of Wildea Tausch begins now.
Good news yesterday, Jason. I was questioning and wondering.
Oh, good. I'm glad we have good news.
About what was going to happen over at 1265 as camp opened up and old 2-3 is in the house. I thought that was a great sign.
So our buddy Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com.
The newsbreaker.
Big time. And sharing the opinions of multiple people inside the building and getting us lots of video views on social media. Also, he does this every year. He puts together his list of all the workout bonuses that are in the contracts of their players. And Jair Alexander, as he did last year, has a $700,000 workout bonus. Last year,
he said, deuces.
I don't need that scratch. And what was really weird was that he claimed that he came to Green Bay like outside of the workouts. Like he came when there were no workouts. And he just he would come to the facility and be by himself.
He just loves the game.
You know, it was just him and T-Bone and Odie and the crew in the equipment room, and he'd have the place to himself largely. Well, the Packers, who did not have media access yesterday but did post photos to Packers.com, and there's Jair. He's walking with Xavier McKinney. He's working out during their calisthenics, and that is a good sign, Tausch. Did you think that he may not show?
Yeah, no, I thought there was a possibility. Whenever someone shows you that 700K didn't really matter, which is what he did last year, normally I would say, no, there's no way he's going to be there. He wants his money. Because players like money, people like money, they want to collect
it. Uh-huh, yeah.
Ja's different, man, and we've seen that in numerous ways. But you start factoring in how last season went. He was suspended. He was docked a week's worth of pay. And it just seemed like there was some stuff. And then we went through kind of his Instagram post and how his viewpoint on the Packers season was last year. And I really think that the change in direction of leadership under the defense was a big thing for Ja. I think he is going to look at this in a different way. I don't think he liked how Joe Barry approached things. I don't think he liked it one bit. And I think he's been very open about that. And I think that's a reason why you saw him kind of act the way he did at certain points. Now, I think he is always going to run to the beat of his own drum. I think that's just how 2-3 is going to be. But I think, you know, Halfley is going to look at this and say, we have a dog. And we need to let him eat. And we've seen this where he shut down Justin Jefferson. He wants the challenges. And some players, you have to continue to do that. And that's why I thought yesterday with him being there, showing up for the first day, I think it's a great tone setter for what I'm hoping is a breakthrough. I don't know if I'm going to call him Depoy anymore, but just getting back to being that guy. Because he has not been that guy for a few seasons. And I think he, like most pros, will look at it and say, there's some seasons where you could say, well, they owe me this and all this. He knows he's up against it. He knows, I think, that some of that guaranteed money, this is the last year of the big-time guarantees, if, correct me if I'm wrong. He wants another big payday. He wants to show, and I think he handled how he was suspended last year. Could go one of two ways. And I think he handled it the right way. Now he sees this team, this youthful, ascending football team. And all of that together can really lead to something beautiful. And that's what I think all of us are hoping for.
So in fairness to him, I think the point you make is a good one. That he could have gone way south after the suspension. And while I think we both agree that it wasn't as if he was going to, he could have, but just because he didn't act out after the suspension didn't necessarily mean that he handled it well, right? Maybe he just hid his displeasure well.
But that's handling it well.
Right. But I would say that as time went on, I think, and David Bakhtiari, who did not get suspended, I'm not comparing that part of it, but David Bakhtiari was a doubter last year, right? I mean, he was a fairly outspoken doubter at the start of the year with the shift from his BFF to an unproven quarterback and all that kind of stuff. And that team won David over, right? I mean, he came back in December and was loving being part of it, it appeared. It was a good thing. I think Jair was a doubter too. And I think he was a really big-time doubter in his defensive coordinator. And I think he was hoping that there was going to be a change last offseason, and there wasn't. Now there is. You put the way he handled the suspension, the change in the system, maybe $700,000 meaning a little bit more to him this offseason than last offseason, and it's great that he's there. And I think that's really encouraging. Now, whether or not, here's my question. You just said it yourself. He's a different cat. With different cats, things can change somewhat quickly, right? So I don't know if everything is necessarily solved. I'm just encouraged by it. But when you're a different kind of guy, something else could set you off that maybe takes you in a different path once again. Fair?
I think you can only just judge off of what they've done lately. Is there, you know, there's some guys that you're like, wow, I can't believe they did that. With Jair, is there anything you'd be, man, I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
I don't sense that's going to be the case. There's, you know, some players kind of strive and thrive when they're in that middle zone. I'm not going to get too high, too low. That's not going to be Jair. And you don't want every player to be the same. And a lot of times these stars of stars, they're going to be more to handle. And you have to understand that. And you can go to Charles Woodson. And I don't know how many times I heard a coach either muttering or saying, boy, if he wasn't such a good player, I don't know if it'd be worth the pain in the blank that he is. But you know what he is? When he's picking passes off and taking pick sixes back to close up games, you don't hear coaches say that. So you want things to be a certain way. And coaches want to have conformity and everything else. But I think the thing with Matt LaFleur is he's a younger coach. I think he understands that not everybody's going to be the same and that different guys have different personalities. Jair's going to have a different personality. And you hope that you get the best. How you get the best is you show that you're going to use his talents in the best way. And if that's the case, you're going to have some great play coming from 23. And if you get that, everybody's going to be happy, even if there's a couple of hiccups along the way.
To your point, though, about him, what was the phrase you used, being up against it? After this season...
What's he making this season?
So his cap number for this season is $23.98 million.
Okay.
You know, they gave him the roster bonus he was due, which was $8 million. That was the final roster bonus that is involved with his contract. He's got a $6.65 million base. So he's counting $23.98 million against the cap. But when you're not in trouble is when the dead cap number is much higher than your actual cap number. And if they had moved on from him, remember when Goody was asked if he would consider trading him? He said, no. Had they moved on from him, his cap hit would be $35.456 million.
So I'm guessing next year, if let's say this season is choppy and it's not consistent,
you know where I'm going.
The Packers can get out of this with very limited damage.
Next year, his cap number, if they keep him on the team, is $25.86 million.
Okay.
If they were to move on from him, his dead cap hit would be $19 million. So 25.86 minus 19, you actually save cap space. Now, you don't have an all-pro player on your team anymore, but he's actually cheaper to have count against your cap no longer on your team, like Devondre Campbell becomes. I'm not saying that they should get rid of him, but if it goes poorly, It actually saves you money.
No question. I think Jair knows this. Every player knows that, you know, you sign your big deal, you're going to have a little bit of leeway. And then 2 or 3 years later, it's going to be prove it, prove it, prove it, prove it. You always have to prove it. This is a prove it year for Jair. A, you got a new coach, defensive coordinator, that's going to give you a whole bunch of different opportunities. And you want to get another big payday. You start by showing that I'm a willing tackler. I am going to be back to being the way I play, aggressive and swagger and, you know, all the stuff that he's brought that we all love. Let's see that. Let's see your leadership. Let's get a captain's pin. Let's get a coin toss where you're actually invited to go and do it. How fun is that going to be? That's the stuff that I think Jair needs to do this year and elevate himself, because your best players need to be your leaders. You can have guys that aren't, but in an ideal world, he is one of your captains. He's one of your leaders, and he's one of your best players. And if this defense is going to make a jump, he's going to need to be a spearhead of that. If he is injured and not effective and a non-willing tackler, this defense ain't going to get any better. I don't care if they bring Buddy Ryan back.
R.I.P. I want to ask you how confident you are that he will be able to return to the form that you bestowed the DPOY title on him for. We'll do that coming up next when we continue the conversation after you tell us about Prize Picks.
Oh, I was ready to go for the quest for 200. You can do that too with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million active users, and it is easy to play. Go more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and just watch the winnings roll in like old tea. At the UFC, I had a bunch of golf this last weekend. Now we have basketball. You got playoffs. You got rebounds. You got the whole deal. Prize Picks has all of it. They offer weekly promotions. It's probably going to be a Taco Tuesday. I'll have to take a look tonight. Special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Download the app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on Prize Picks for a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We'll continue our Jair Alexander conversation next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
You're listening to Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio. When is it ever? I know the perfect time.
You can hurt me tomorrow.
You can hurt me, you can hurt me,
you can hurt me,
you can hurt me,
you can hurt me,
you can hurt me,
you can hurt me,
you can hurt me tomorrow.
You can hurt me tomorrow.
You can hurt me tomorrow.
Girl, save it for tomorrow.
All right, Tausch. I think we agree that before the shoulder injury that Jair Alexander suffered during the 2021 season tackling Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Before that, he was one of, if not the best corners in
physical,
football.
Hunted people.
Mm-hmm.
That changed.
I think we also agree that he hasn't been to that level. He's certainly had great coverage games. There's no doubt about it.
Few and far between.
But they haven't been as frequent as you would like
them
to be.
He's been picked on, too, in games.
So, where is your confidence level?
I don't have a ton. I'm going to Ronald Reagan this. I still believe in him, but I need some verification. I think he has proven to be a really good football player, but he has been way too inconsistent. And yeah, part of it's injury. I get it. That sucks. Part of it's been attitude. So now you're looking at it and saying, all right, it's time for you to get back out there and be the guy that when we paid you top dollar, he was at one point, he was the top corner.
I think he still is.
And if he still is, he's got to be that guy. So I think if you're going to ask me, Well, is Jeff Hafley going to be better than what we've seen in the past? I got two questions for you. Is Rashawn Gary going to return to form, and is Jair Alexander going to return to form? If that's the case, they will. If it's not, this defense isn't going to be that much better. I don't care what scheme you're running. You got your two of your highest paid dogs that need to be more consistent than what they've been. And Rashawn Gary has been a physical player. I am not going to fault Rashawn at all. I thought he gutted it out. He got his butt back, and he gave us everything he had. He is not. He is going to be much better than he was last year. Feel very confident about that. Lucas Van Ness is going to take that jump. He is a big, strong bull of a man. He's going to cause problems. But if this defense is going to make a jump, it's not going to be because the Packers took some stud. It's not going to be because, oh, they grabbed McKinney in the free agency pool. Those things are all nice, and I think McKinney can make an impact. This defense can make a jump because their best players are going to play their best football. And if they do, this can be a really fun team to watch. And unlike some people, I still believe defense matters. I don't think you can just roll your hat out and say, doesn't matter. Offense needs to be better. Don't roll your eyes. It's what you guys said, not me. You check the tape. Defense still matters. And how you play effective defense in today's day and age, you get a dog that can rush, and you have a cover corner that can play. Green Bay has their guys. Now can they do it? And if they do, and if this defense can get in the top five, this will be a Super Bowl team. If they don't, then we're going to be sitting there hoping that Jordan Love and the offense can just outscore people, which is what some people think the NFL is all about now.
Super excited to go back on the tape and hear how it was said that defense doesn't matter anymore. But
Jesse,
you're right.
Am I disparaging these? Is that not what the conversation was?
This is the one that you guys got in the big argument.
We did fight.
It was in a
fun way, though. We weren't like.
I didn't find it all that fun, no.
All right, well, then we'll just move along. Jason and Homer both didn't say defense has never been more less important than we've ever seen it. Offense is what's winning. And then I continue to point out that the Chiefs won the championship this year with a really good defense. But
and they
my
won it
point
the previous year
is,
with a bad defense. Yeah.
Yes, you need. Your offense needs to be up to par, no question.
And yes, your defense needs to be up to par. Well, you're right about that.
It's almost like your elevators have to line up of your
almost.
Defense and your offense, so at least it's close
Let me
to
tell
the
you something.
Same
the Chiefs
level.
Elevator didn't line up last year at all.
In the playoffs, it did.
Did it?
As much as I'd love to relitigate this.
But would you guys make, if you're asking me what needs to happen for Jeff Hafley's defense to really be good? Your two guys are right there. They need to be the guys that we are paying them and expecting them to be. I don't think anything else is close if I'm power ranking anything. Nothing else is close.
I think, well, would you like to power rank something other than first-round picks? Because that's what we were going to do.
No. My point on the job, because you're asking, can he return to form? Yeah, he can. I just wonder, is he going to go back to being the guy that I remember drilling a quarterback in the backfield the opening day down at U.S. Bank Stadium on a corner blitz that I don't even think he was supposed to blitz on and making plays in the backfield and just going about with a relentless aggressiveness? I haven't seen that guy. I want to, but have you seen that guy since that fateful day when he split his shoulder in half against Najee Harris? I haven't.
That rainy day against the Arizona Cardinals.
I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you guys, but I'm going to try and ask it. And if you want to ridicule it, so be it. Does Jair Alexander deserve to be the highest paid at his position of players on the Packers roster?
No. Not as we sit here right now.
Last year was not a great year on a number of levels for him, right? And there were questions about the seriousness. Anytime that you get to the point where there are people wondering about how bad your injury is, that's never a good place to be. And we don't do that around here on this program, but there were definitely people that were concerned, and you could see in his head coach's demeanor the frustration with the uncertainty of just how bad that shoulder was. And I just think that that started them down a path that eventually led to the captain calling the coin toss when you're not a captain saga. So last year was not a good year. But I don't think you can write someone off. As the great Denny Tauscher taught us, talent outs. But you better show the talent.
Part of his talent was his aggressiveness and his willing to put his, put his shoulders on the line. He has not done that since. Not consistently.
And frankly, I don't entirely blame him. Right?
I understand why, but that's not how the ball's played, man. It's not.
There have been more than a few players at his position who were largely disinterested in physicality and tackling
as
well.
That wasn't his bread and butter was physicality. Like, that was part of his
and
charm.
And swagger, yeah.
And we saw glimpses. I mean, was it Dallas where he stole the pick? The playoff game? Or San Francisco? I don't remember where, but he was in there. I think it was Dallas.
Yeah, it was Dallas.
That's Jair. So when you see those glimpses, you're thinking, I then. So that's why I'm not writing him off. But it's one thing, can you do it consistently? We'll find out. Man, I hope so. He's one of my favorite players to watch when he was humming. And it took a lot. I mean, I had to take a lot of bitter lemon juice when my DPOY was out there flailing around, not putting his head in there. Because that's what he was doing. I didn't like saying it, but that's what he was doing.
You got to cover and you got to tackle. Just like you got to do concrete and you got to do asphalt if you're working like Tausch is going to be, at least for one job. For Johnson and Sons.
Who wants a visit with old T coming out there and putting a pothole back together? Get that thing smoothed out. Who wants that? If you do, Johnson and Sons Paving, they're inviting me out to one of their job sites this summer. And it could be with your business. Book an appointment before May 31st. You can see me out there with the crew. Johnson and Sons Paving is over two decades of experience, ready for the challenge that winter has. We all know it's coming. Potholes are everywhere. You got the snowplows hitting it. Bop, bop, bop. Damage to cars, bad aesthetics, you name it. Get the impacted asphalt areas patched up or completely replaced with Johnson & Sons. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com. I'll have my hard hat. I got my level. I got my vest. I got my snacks. I got my hydration. I am ready to rock and roll. Let's join it. Have me join you out there. Again, go to JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com to get started.
Jair Alexander was a first-round pick in 2018. Goody's first. We'll talk a little bit about first-round picks coming up. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN. Sponsored by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Time we power rank something. That used to be like something we did. It's our thing.
Well, in season you end up doing it because you power rank.
Right. Sure. The ESPN power rankings come out each week and we chat about that.
I feel fairly confident that after, where was the game when Green Bay was 27th that people were saying we should tank for Caleb? It was probably, was that the Viking game?
Yeah, it was that late that in was, October, yeah, booing yeah. or cheering, sarcastic cheering for a first down against the Vikings.
That wasn't good.
I would venture to say that we should not see that number for a long time ever again.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I would also say that at the time, there was reason to wonder.
There was never reason to wonder to tank.
No, but there was reason to wonder if they were as bad as 27th in the league. Oh, they, that Minnesota they're right game they was terrible.
They're right where they were supposed to be at that point.
I would agree. So you guys came up with this. I feel like Tausch came up with this idea like weeks ago, if I'm remembering correctly. But power ranking the Packers' first-round draft picks. Now, you were not a first-round draft pick.
No, I was not.
And you are proof that it doesn't matter where you start, matters where you finish.
It helps to start in the first
round. But, as you always say, seventh-round picks have to constantly prove they belong in the league. First-round picks have to constantly prove they don't. There are some that prove that they didn't on the list. So maybe there would also be a power ranking at the bottom of these rankings that might be interesting as well. The Jamal Reynoldses and the Justin Harrells, et cetera, et cetera. But, Jesse, there are some among us, I'm not going to mention any names, they debate whether or not 10 is higher or lower of a number when you're doing rankings.
No, I'm not going to do that. One is the best, 10 is the worst in this case.
So are we working our way up, or are we just putting our person at the top of our list?
Okay, so what I was hoping to do, because this is what was brought up a couple of weeks ago, was ranking. I don't know if you want to do the last 10. I thought a good benchmark was Aaron Rodgers in 2005. So
okay.
That would be the
he's going to be number one. So
that would be the last 20 first-round picks then for the Green Bay Packers. And if we went that far, we could just bring them up in chronological order, and you could put them on the list where you think they belong, and we can put together a list
maneuver,
of 20.
And we can maneuver.
Mm-hmm.
The big maneuverer.
If you're into playing the game that way, we'll play it that way.
Okay, let's do it.
Can't wait to find out where AJ Hawk winds up after our debate a couple weeks ago.
Well, you'll have him low.
Why you gotta do that?
So here we go. Ranking the first round pick since Aaron Rodgers in 2005. Let's begin with Aaron Rodgers, and we put him obviously in the number one spot.
Okay.
So then the next first round pick was AJ Hawk.
Start him at 5. Yep.
That's where he was picked, 5th. That's where all the expectations came from.
He might maneuver him a little bit, but I'm not going to start him at like 13. I can tell you that.
Okay.
This is going to come together here. We got this. All right. Next up, after AJ Hawk, we have Justin Harrell in 2007.
20th.
Yes, 20th, I agree.
That's a fair spot to start. We'll see if he gets bumped up at all.
He's not going to get bumped up.
All right, there was no first-round pick in 2008, so the next pick was B.J. Raji in 2009.
Oh, boy. By the way, there are exactly, even though there was a year where there was no first-round pick in 2008, and I think again in 17, there are exactly 20 players on this list.
B.J. Raji, 6.
Uh-huh.
Put him at 6.
I'm putting him at 4.
Okay.
Well, so now we need to debate, does he go ahead or behind AJ Hawk?
B.J. Raji was a really good player for a short amount of time. Was he impactful? Absolutely he was. One of the great plays in the history of the Packers organization. He deserves a ton of credit. But if I can't sit here and tell you longevity matters, I'd be lying to you. So is he an impactful player, and should he be a top 10 pick of all time? Yeah. But he's not at AJ.
Okay.
Jason, what's your argument for putting him behind
why
AJ?
Why should he be ahead of AJ?
Or ahead of AJ, I should say.
I don't think they win the Super Bowl without him. They don't potentially even get to the Super Bowl without him. And while I agree that there is a brevity to his career, and he did miss an entire season, he did play... He did spend 7 seasons in Green Bay, and he played 6 seasons. I don't think that the longevity is short enough to disallow the impact he had as a player. Went to more Pro Bowls than AJ Hawk, too, I believe.
Good cases on both fronts.
Good cases.
Is either of you persuaded by the other? Because I think I have to be the tiebreaker vote.
Tiebreak it up, yep.
I would put it B.J. Raji behind A.J. Hawk one spot because of the longevity.
So we're putting him at 6. 6.
That's where he slots in. And we can interpret the list and make any changes at the end if needed. So then next up after B.J. Raji, same draft, Clay Matthews.
Two.
I was going to put him at two.
Well, we can move him back later, remember. We can always make adjustments.
Yeah, there's maneuvering, but he's two as we sit here right now.
Yeah.
The Packers do not win a Super Bowl without Clay Matthews.
No, I totally agree with that. I believe him to be that. My problem is with the guy they picked in 2020 and where he's headed, because how are we going to rank him?
That's the beauty of the game.
Because of the position he plays.
Yeah.
And because longevity, he's only started one season. But I have a feeling that he's going to deserve a top five slot. Sure, let's start Clay at two because that's where I wanted to put him if I'm not contemplating the love factor.
Next up, Brian Bulaga, Iowa.
Three.
I'm going to put him at seven. I'm going to put him right behind BJ. And you can make a really good argument. You can put him at six. I'm torn on that one. I'm going to put him at six.
You're going to put him ahead of B.J. Raji. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Jason?
Yeah, I'm going through the list here. There's a lot of guys that have the potential to be ahead of him, right? Like, I know we like Rashawn Gary a lot around here. We like Jair, or liked Jair. We love Kenny Clark. I want to put him at three and then move him on behalf of Jordan Love. So I think he deserves to be.
Wow.
Jesse? Higher.
Well, why don't we split the difference, put him at four for right now then, and then we'll see how it shakes out.
Taush doesn't have him ahead of A.J. Hawk, I do again.
I don't think you can put Blue ahead of A.J. Hawk. I don't.
Why not? Both have longevity.
A.J. Hawk is a captain. Didn't miss games. And he's the leading tackler in the history of the organization.
Brian Bulaga is the best right tackle in the history.
Brian Bulaga had a great career in Green Bay. Youngest starter of all time.
In a Super Bowl, yeah.
But he's not. He did not have the same longevity that A.J. Hawk did. He didn't.
Okay.
Let's slot him in where he is. This is why this is a fun exercise, going back and looking at all these picks.
Yeah, and you know what? There's no right answer.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, A.J. Hawk played 142 games in a Packers uniform. Brian Bulaga played 115. They both played nine seasons. Blue obviously had the ACL tears.
That's almost two full seasons more.
Yeah, two ACL tears.
Yeah, life sucks, man. Deal with it. That's why you're at six and not five. Okay. Sorry.
We'll do one more, and then we'll get back to it after the break. How about Derek Sherrod?
19.
Yeah, I'll put him at 18. You get either one. You can start him at 19 if you want.
No, I think 18 is probably good because there's Demarius Randall is still coming up. All right, so that's where we stand partway through. Our list will continue with more of these coming up. Taush is going to tell us first about Kohler Services, which is definitely number one if you're renovating your bathroom.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, we saw a lot of bad bathrooms. Hotels, Coliseum, Europe, Italy, whatever it might be. If you need a new bath or a shower remodel, turn to Kohler Services, a family-owned business. For 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer, providing care for life. And this month only. Pay zero interest for 12 months, and you get a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote, and with fast, professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
The rankings roll on next. It's Wildy and Taush.
You're listening to Wildy and Taush on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
The power rankings roll on.
It's crazy that A.J. Hawk is again the catalyst for controversy.
I don't know if... would you say... I don't think the controversy has been nearly as strong this time.
I would bet once we post or put this list out, yeah, it will be.
Okay. Jesse, put the list up again if you're not watching on video stream. You're missing out on our technique for keeping track of how many we've ranked. As of now, 20 players, starting with Aaron Rodgers in 2005, have been drafted in the first round by the Green Bay Packers. A couple of years where they didn't have picks. A couple of years where they had two first-rounders. As of now, we have placed Aaron Rodgers 1, Clay Matthews 2, A.J. Hawk 5, Brian Bulaga, Iowa 6, B.J. Raji 7, Derek Sherrod 18.
Big gap there.
Justin Harrell 20. So that's where we stand. Jesse, who's next chronologically?
This is like the best power rankings ever. This is so fun. Nick Perry in 2012. Nick Perry.
10.
11.
Put him at 11.
All right, he'll go 11 for right now, then.
Great couple of... Well, one really good season.
Yeah, got himself a nice big contract. Yep. Good timing and on then, his one really good season.
I would say he... All in all, you'd probably say you're disappointed with him as a first-round pick.
Very fair. Yes, indeed.
Next up, 2012. Oh, sorry, Nick Perry is 2012. 2013, Dayton Jones.
17.
17's good. Fun name, though.
This is a fun one. He's the one that got in a training camp fight, right? Or am I thinking of somebody else?
There's a lot of training camp fights, bud.
All right, fair. For 2014, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
14. 15, somewhere in that ballpark. You want to go 15?
Sure. Let's very go 15 for now.
Very disappointing run for Ha-Ha.
Yeah, there was a moment where we thought he was going to be the answer. He wasn't.
All right, updating the list. Here we go. 2015, your guy, Jason, Demaryius Randall.
19, and the only reason he's not last is because of Justin Harrell.
Yeah, Demaryius, not a great pick. And a lot of issues came up. 19 is right where he should be.
Not great, Bob.
All right, unanimous there. This one's going to be interesting. 2016, Kenny Clark.
4.
So, Kenny Clark is 4. Are you reserving 3 for love?
Maybe.
So Tausch has Kenny Clark at 4, which would mean better than A.J. Hawk, which is the metric by all draft picks are measured.
Who's been more dominant? Kenny Clark's going into
Who's got more longevity?
Is Kenny going into his 8th year?
He's going into
drafted
his 9th.
Drafted in 16.
He's going into his 9th?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Clark is 4, for sure.
Jason, any rebuttal?
No, I was going to actually put him at 3. And then move him if we agreed that Jordan Love should be 3. So 4 is fine by me.
2017, there were no first-round picks. Even though Kevin King was taken right at the start of the second round, we will not be able to add him to the list, unfortunately.
Welcome back to the league, Kev. Yep. The Atlanta Falcons.
Jair Alexander.
God, this is a tough one.
Yeah, we were just talking about him earlier this
Jair
hour.
Jair has a chance if he can lead this team to a championship. He has a chance to go top 4. But as we sit here right now, I'm going to put him at 8.
Not as good as B.J. Raji?
No.
But better than Rashawn Gary, unless you plan on dropping him when we get to the Rashawn Gary next.
Everything's mobile. It's a fluid list.
No, I agree with Tausch. I think he's ahead of Rashawn Gary right now, even though... I don't know. Which one did you love more at the peak of your infatuation with
Jair.
Him? Okay. Elite edge rusher coming up next.
So then we slot in Jair Alexander at number 8 behind B.J. Raji, 7 on the list. We get to 2019 where there were 2 first-round draft picks, the first of which, 12th overall, was Rashawn Gary.
9.
Agreed.
All right, easy enough. While I put that on the list, how about Darnell Savage?
I think you could put him at 12.
Agreed. That's exactly where I was going to put him. We're back to finishing each other's sentences. Let's just finish this up and then analyze what we have when we're done.
Sure, let's go ahead and keep rounding it out then.
Again, what are we going to do? Like, Lucas Van Ness had a nice first season. I didn't feel really fair to him. He's going to end up ranked like 16th.
You can only rank what you have so far. Jordan Love, 2020.
I don't feel great about this.
13.
I am going to do something crazy here. I'm going to move Kenny Clark to 3. I'm moving AJ Hawk to 4.
Oh!
And I'm putting Jordan Love at 5. That's where I'm at right
now. That is crazy. I'm blown away. What else do I have to say?
He's had one season as a starter.
I agree.
And it was a fantastic second half of the season.
I agree.
I'm actually thinking about moving Blue and putting him 6, but I want to keep Jordan in the top 5.
We've revised the list.
Wow. I was going to put him at 3 because of the position he plays and betting on futures.
It's not what we're doing. We're not betting on futures.
We can't, but
if I'm betting on futures, I'm putting Jair up there a little higher. It's not where we're at.
Yeah, but Lucas Van Ness, like Dayton Jones had more production.
All right, we have 3 left. Who are they? Or 4 left?
We have 4 left. Wow. Yep. So Eric Stokes, 2021.
16.
Agreed.
All right, I'll get that here while we get to Quay Walker.
10.
That seems high.
Nick Perry had one good season.
Might be.
Quay has not had one yet.
Okay, but I'm putting him there.
Okay. I think he may be moved later. That's fine. You can put him there for now.
We'll make amendments coming up.
I think Nick Perry might deserve to be ahead of him at this juncture if we're basing it not on future bets.
I'm open to that.
2 more to go. The penultimate name. Why it's so hard to figure out where he goes on the list. Devontae Wyatt.
13. Lucky number 13.
Lucas Van Ness was the 13th overall pick. I would put him ahead of Devontae Wyatt. But again, I'm betting some futures there, and I've been more impressed with Lucas in 1 year than I've been with Wyatt in 2.
That's fair. I might side with Jason on that.
Go the route you want to go.
If we're just comparing these 2 spots, I would put Lucas Van Ness ahead of Devontae Wyatt.
Okay.
Possible to be changed based on how they play this year, but right now, today, and you got to compare everybody a little bit differently, I would put Lucas Van Ness ahead of Devontae Wyatt. So we'll make that, and that'll round out the list.
All right. We will review the list to kick off the 11 o'clock hour now. I know this when it comes to power ranking our favorite golf courses where you could shoot 200
Chase
or more.
For 200.
And the tree of life or the Good Friday tree or whatever they call it.
And the birthplace of golf in Wisconsin with a rich history you feel when you arrive. You do. Experience around at the club at Lac La Belle, the historic course, open to the public 7 days a week starting Sunday, May 5th. You can schedule your tee time today at club@laclabelle.com. This is a golf destination you will want to play over and over again. And my favorite part about it, right down the road, 45 minutes from Milwaukee, 45 minutes from here, boom, 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 boom. It's and then you get there and you're out in the middle and it's just, it's a vacation. And then you just drive home. It's not a long drive back. You can enjoy fine dining, event space after your round, a historic past that meets that vibrant future. Go to club@laclabelle.com to start your journey today.
We'll break down our 20 players that were drafted in the first round since Aaron Rodgers, beginning with Aaron Rodgers in 2005. Do we need to make some switcheroos after putting that list together? We'll find out when the 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tao.